This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri. And I have family all around, my daughter, my granddaughter, my grandson. And we're really enjoying making these radio broadcasts for you. Now, we have every third Sunday healing and a miracle meeting that we stream live. And we started doing this because God said to our dear friend who went to heaven, Dr. Gary Wood, and came back, that there was going to be an outburst of miracles. Mm-hmm. And so we believe it. Now, October.
We're seeing it too.
Yeah, we're seeing it. Oh, man, we are seeing it. We have had some times,
yeah,
haven't we?
We're seeing an increase even in our meetings. We've been doing our meetings for over 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Or through, well, I think, yeah, 2 years in September. This September will be 2 years. And anyway, we're getting testimonies all the time. From last month to this month, we have an increase in miracles. The last 2 months, we've had an increase in miracles.
And we have got someone coming next month, the 20th of October, which is the Sunday before our Autumn Assembly of Prayer.
Yeah.
This month.
October. Yeah, this month.
Yeah,
get me straight and right.
This month, the 20th.
Yeah, we just did our third Sunday not too long ago, September, so I'm thinking next. But the next is this month, and it's the 20th of October. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can be with us out at Prayer Mountain, or you can watch stream billybrim.org. And we're going to have Brother Tommy Welchel. And Brother Tommy, well, he was running from God and running from the law when he was just a teenager. And he got to California, and there a couple of women, little older women at that time, ministered him on the street, I think. And they happened to be ladies who had been at Azusa Street. And they eventually took him to the place where many of them were living, at a place called Pisgah. And there he met a lot of people that lived at that time together, their older years. And as they were training this young man and praying for him, he would sit at their feet. And the title of his book, I think he has a new one coming out. I don't know if it's the same title.
Yeah, it is.
Old book is They Told Me Their Stories. And so he recorded what they told him. Now, I'm going to read you this one because it has to do, you know the story of how Azusa Street started. Of course, on this side of the world, we know that something else happened over in Russia. And that's told in The Happiest People on Earth by Dima Shikarian. But on this side of the world, in the Western Hemisphere, it started at the outpouring at Topeka, Kansas, in 1901. And then Brother Parham, eventually they worked their way down to Houston, and there a one-eyed black man, Brother Seymour, heard them speak and talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He had not yet been filled. And he went to California and preached that speaking with tongues was the evidence. He didn't yet speak with tongues. And when he got to the church, it was boarded up. You can't preach that here. So there were some people there that went to that church. They lived on Bonnie Bray Street. And they invited him to come to their house. And they had a prayer meeting April 6th through 9th, 1906. And on the 9th, there came this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that house on Bonnie Bray Street. Now, I'm going to read you Sister Carney told Brother Welchel this story, and it's recorded in his book. Sister Carney, of course, was an elderly lady when she told him the story, but she was 17 when this happened. In the beginning is the chapter title. The police officers were polite yet firm. Either shut it down or rent a place like a regular church or auditorium. You have gotten too big to continue to meet at this house. This revival meeting began as a small gathering led by William Seymour in a home on Bonnie Bray Street. It now flowed out to the front yard, the neighbors' yards, and onto the street. As Brother Seymour preached from the porch of this small home in the Los Angeles area. Seymour had been warned several times before and realized that he needed a much larger gathering place. The power of God was evident as the crowd grew larger and larger each passing day. He had been looking for a place to meet and had found an abandoned warehouse that at one time was used as a Methodist church. The warehouse was perfect, and the only thing that was keeping Seymour from renting the building was money. That night, the need to move was heavy on Seymour's heart. He prayed to God for direction, and before the evening was over, he had received his answer. God instructed him to get on a trolley car as soon as the service ended and to go to Pasadena. He's in Los Angeles. True to God's leadership, Seymour didn't argue, but rather headed for Pasadena, where it was illegal at that time for blacks like Seymour to be out after dark. He rode the trolley until God instructed him to get off, and then followed as God directed him to an apartment nearby. Sister Carney, just a 17-year-old, but yet married, had arrived in Pasadena earlier that day. She was to meet with several of her friends who had been members of the First Baptist Church until they had received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Somehow that didn't fit their church's doctrine. That evening, they were coming together to pray for revival. Meeting together for months now, in the apartment of one of the members of the group, this particular evening, these ladies continued in fervent prayer for several hours. They were certain that God was about to do something big in the Los Angeles area. See, they were picking that up in their spirits. Mm-hmm. But they were faithful to pray. And Brother Hagin said, these moves, these end time moves have to be birthed. Mm-hmm. Now back to the book. Just after 10 p.m., God brought together two elements of a force that, when joined together, would usher in one of the greatest manifestations of God ever experienced by man since the birth of Christ. Seymour walked up to the apartment that God had led him to and knocked on the door. Sister Carney remembers the time to be about 10:30 p.m. The ladies went to the door together, and when they opened the door, they found a black man, blind in one eye, standing before them. For many people in that day and in that area, that would have been a sign to slam the door and call the police. But that night, God was in charge. The owner of the apartment, with some apprehension, asked, "Can I help you?" The answer to this simple and somewhat fretful question would startle and astonish those gathered for prayer. After several months of fervent prayer, God responded in an unusual manner. Seymour replied, "You're praying for revival, right?" When the ladies responded with a unanimous yes, Seymour made a bold statement. "I'm the man God has sent to preach that revival." Without hesitation, the ladies invited Seymour in. After some exciting chatter, he preached to them and took up an offering that was more than enough to rent the Azusa Street warehouse.
Praise God.
Supernatural. Mm-hmm. Supernatural. Mm-hmm. But each of them had to do their part. Mm-hmm. The ladies had to pray. Mm-hmm. There were other people praying around Los Angeles at that time, lots of people. They wanted a revival because they knew about the Welsh revival. And God stirred them all up to pray. And he stirred us all up to pray now. Mm-hmm. The same God that stirred up those ladies to pray has stirred us up to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he has stirred us up to pray. And he has called a meeting mm-hmm. that will be in Branson, Missouri, our Autumn Assembly of Prayer. It will begin officially Thursday, October 24th, and it will go through Monday, the 27th. We mm-hmm. all go out to Prayer Mountain in a tent meeting on that day. But if you want to come early, we pray on the 23rd. Now, this 23rd, that's when we will begin. But the 20th, just a few days before, Brother Tommy mm-hmm. Now, Brenda, tell a little bit about Brother Tommy. You talked to him recently.
Yes, he, well, he's a wonderful man, and he's a storyteller. And when he calls, you know, he'll talk. If he's by himself, he'll talk and talk and talk, and just shares. But he said, Brenda, do you know why I haven't been around? And I said, well, you know, I know you've been really, really busy. He had been in the Sid Roth show that I talked to him the week before when I asked him, he was at the Sid Roth. And then Hollywood's going to make a movie out of They Told Me Their Stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So things are really moving for him, and God's blessing him. Well, but he said he had a massive heart attack. I think it was about 2 years ago. And he was in a coma, I think he said 2 weeks. And he said, Brenda, I went to heaven.
How old is Tommy?
I don't know.
But anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, yeah. Anyway, I would say late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a coma for 2 weeks. And he said, Brenda, I went to heaven there, and I like it there. That's how he talks. And he said, he talked about how he was on a grassy knoll and how the grass on it, how it was beautiful. And it was luscious, and he wanted to touch it. And so when he did, he said it was like moving. He says everything in heaven moves, or not moves, but
has life.
Has life to it, in the flowers. And as he petted, he said it purred like a kitten. And he said, Brenda, I'm petting the grass. I can't get past the grass, he said. and in that place, I guess he'd been that knoll 3 times. This was the 3rd time. That same place. But he said, well, I guess I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. And he asked the Lord. He said, Lord, if it's time for me to come here, I want to stay here. But if you want me to finish, you know, what if there's anything you want me to finish in my body, I want to go back. And he wound up, woke up from his coma. So he said, I, you know, he goes, evidently the Lord wants more for me to do.
And isn't he in some of his meetings having miracles?
He's having miracles, creative miracles. And he says, Brenda, I don't do anything. He just shares these stories. And he said, one meeting, a man pops up and he got a new tooth. And so he said he noticed a lot of commotion going on in the meeting, and he asked what was going on. The man said, I got a new tooth. So it's time of the Shekinah glory.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that manifested presence of God.
That was at Azusa Street.
Yeah, that was
and
at Azusa.
They said that was the one thing, that was what they missed the most. That was the one characteristic.
The old timers. They said the thing they most missed was the manifestation of the glory cloud that was in the meetings. And, you know, you heard the prophecy that we read earlier this week about that's going to be in our meetings. And I'm so looking forward mm-hmm. to that.
Mm-hmm. So come, don't miss it.
Well, I believe that. You know, I didn't say that, Kylie, but I believe mm-hmm. that the glory will be a theme mm-hmm. and a manifestation mm-hmm. in our autumn assembly. I also will be coming up Sunday evening at Victory, the Doherty's great church there in Tulsa, for the evening service.
And that's October 6th, right?
October 6th. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there and praying in with Dexter Sullivan and his events. And so we work with God in prayer. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.